Hello, I'm Steve Rosewald, and this is CFO Talk, brought to you by CFO.University. Our guest today is Anand Soni. Anand is a serial CFO. He's held a number of CFO roles, and currently he's the CFO at AAB Tools, and he lives in Dubai. Recently, Anand gave us a really nice talk, a CFO talk, on the business CFO. Today, he's going to talk to us about strategic cost control. Welcome to CFO Talk, Anand.
Thank you, Steve, and nice to be again at this forum to share my views on the topic which I love, strategic cost control.
Well, it's great to have you, and I'm sure it'd be very well received like your last CFO talk was, and I really appreciate the time you gave us for that. You know, strategic cost control kind of makes people cringe a little bit. It's a hard part because a lot of times it has to do with people or reducing things or significant change. But you look at it a little differently. You look at and you have these myths that have been built up over time that you have in your work have shown really aren't true. So can you tell us about some of these myths that relate to strategic cost control?
Sure. I think to begin with, we need to appreciate why in the first case there are myths, you know. And the reason is the moment you talk about cost control, the first thing is you're expecting anyone to change in the status quo. Now, put that logic in a business, you would find it's easy to talk about revenue increase. It's easy to talk about collections. But when it comes to cost, the first thing is, oh, it won't happen. Because any cost control expects you to change. And we as human beings are more resistant to going for a change because, Steve, change is scary, you see. We all want to change. But practically speaking, how many of us really make efforts to change? And that's the bottom line. Why these myths have come across. So let us see what are those few myths which I don't believe in. Because in my career, I was lucky to have handled three exercises of cost control, and of which twice I was successful, and once I could not. So you have someone who has seen success, and someone who has seen failure. And therefore, I can relate to all the aspects of this topic. So therefore, the myths are, first, look, the CFO who is driving it is negative. Is negative because, you know, the only reason he's talking about cost is because he doesn't want the company to grow. He wants to block developers. Or else, look, cost control is a concept. These are all concepts, Steve, people will say, are good for your books, right? The third of the myth can be, look, the moment you talk about cost control, people will get demotivated. Operations will get hurt. But these myths I don't buy for the very simple reason, if you are prepared to have a mindset change, a paradigm shift in your mindset, and have the will and the persistence to pursue these objectives, you can succeed. And the beauty is, in spite of knowing all these things, this exercise still, even today, is considered to be the most difficult one and the most unpleasant one because people are not willing to come out of and say, look, hey, these myths are not there.
Well, those are some really, you know, the things you captured are really true about the you know, cost control is seen as kind of a last resort. Everyone wants to build revenue. Nobody wants to control costs. Yet I think you also noticed that I mentioned in your articles, for every dollar saved, it's a dollar earned. So there still is benefits, although it's got that that mystique about it, that it's no fun. It has to do with people. But it's still important. So I think that's, and your myths were very, very interesting. So thank you for sharing that. In your articles and your presentations that you've done on this, you mentioned how important mindset and paradigm shifts are. Tell me how that, you know, how you see that fitting in to the whole change management related to a strategic cost initiative.
As I said, the purpose of mindset is It is not a one-man exercise. You cannot succeed as a cost control champion if the team is not with you. So who are those stakeholders? You have the people who are working with you, working under you. And then you have the ownership. Now, when I've spoken about mindset change or paradigm shift in my article, in my presentation, I'm driving more of the people who have a role to play to influence your cost control efforts. Now, who are those people? Mainly your stakeholders, your ownership. Now, as a CFO, your biggest challenge is to see that the mindset of those stakeholders get changed. And trust me, Steve, it's easier said than done. I have been dealing with the owners for the last 15, 20 years, and I can say with full confidence, yes, owners, the board does listen, but you need to pursue, you need to really come up with the storytelling, as we keep saying, to make sure that they change their mindset, they give their blessings to you, and that is what exactly is a very, very tough challenge for anyone who is initiating their exercise. That is one part. The other part of mindset change is the people whom you want to be a part of this exercise. And as I said, one of the things is change. People resist change. Now, how do you convince the people that this change is required for you? And that is another aspect of when I will take you through my case study, how we did it. That required us to convince our stakeholders at the top and the people who were with me. So there's a two-way mindset change, two-way paradigm shift, and easier said than done.
Yeah, you know, I didn't think of it that way, that there really is two different audiences. There's the ownership and the board, and then there's the people who have to implement the change. And although the storyline, I guess, has a thread, it's the same, but what's important to each of those constituencies could be quite a bit different. So the storytelling, as you mentioned, being able to share the vision in a way that will get people to change, I can see where that's really important. Yeah, one of the things I think, and you mentioned this in the myths, and there may be a little reality to it, but getting crossing it and making it a myth is really hard, is in strategic cost control, how do you make people feel comfortable, the people that are implementing the change, that they're going to have a good job at the end. It's going to be better for them. Those things that I'm really curious to hear how, as you go through the example, you'll be talking of that. You'd mentioned also you called it the term false economies. And I don't know if you want to touch on that piece now, where it was interesting to me the way you described the term false economies. Related to strategic cost control.
Right. You see, what happens is, where do we begin? I mean, when it comes to cost control, the bottom line is that you need to trim down your fat. You need to reduce your fat, but don't get into cutting into bones and muscles. Now, what does it really mean? Yes, you have overheads, you can bring down the cost. That is what I call it, bringing down, trimming your fat. But what people actually end up doing it when you go on the path of this exercise is you go 10 steps more and you literally take those actions which on the face of it, you may find that yes, you have brought in some sort of economy in the budget, a false word. As a prefix. And you may say, look, I have saved so many dollars. But the fact is, you have actually hit your business. Now, let me give you an example from what I have seen. Many of the businesses, let's say a company has got, say, five different businesses. You have construction, contracting, trading, refinery services. And there could be a decision that, look, instead of having a qualified professional to manage these companies at the finance end, well, let's live with the accountant because anyway, they were doing a great job. And let's save some money. The thing is, yes, you might save some money, but if you're having five businesses five different diversified businesses, you need a professional to handle it. Look, you have saved some dollars and you can blow your own trumpet saying, look, I did a great job for saving these dollars for the group. But my friend, you have actually lost, because this is what exactly, you may feel you have saved something, but you have hit and cut into the bones and the muscles. And that is the term is what is known as false economy, which we should not try to follow.
No, I think that's a really good concept. Difficult, though, because everyone has a different concept of how deep you can go and how deep the fat is, right? So that becomes that whole analysis, storytelling part, that making sure that you have the, you know, you're kind of doing the right thing. And that takes a team and some help. And I can see where, you know, preventing a false economy from happening, because that's when people get discouraged, right? So all of a sudden people are working longer hours. There's more failure rates. And you can lose the team that way that might have been excited about a, you know, cost transformation initially. But all of a sudden when they see the results, because you've gone too far, it can be pretty discouraging. So very good. Well, I'm really anxious to hear. Yeah, go ahead.
I just want to add one point on the storytelling, which we discussed about a few minutes back. And I was mentioning about the two audience when it comes to mindset change. Yes, storytelling is a very key tool, but the storytelling, what you do with your first owners, stakeholder, is entirely different than what storytelling you will be doing with your employees, your people who are working. So as a cost control champion, you need to be in the position to appreciate the difference in storytelling with one set of crowd and another set of crowd. Otherwise, you will completely end up with a big mess.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I think that the general idea is exactly the same, but the way people need to accept it or need to learn about it is different, right? So the actions are going to be the same, but the way people are involved in it and kind of their roles in either approving it or executing on it, that's part of the whole teaching process that has to go through with the storytelling that you're talking about. Very interesting. Practical processes beyond, you know, practical things to achieve, strategic cost control. Do you want to talk about a few of those? And then we'll get into the example that you mentioned.
Yeah.
I can't wait to hear about.
Right. See, once a decision is made that, look, as a group, you are going to go for a cost control exercise, a couple of things you need to start again straight away. Engage with people, communicate with them. There would be people who won't be agreeing to what you're saying. You can't make everyone happy. It's an unpleasant exercise. It's a tough call. So, yes, to an extent, you can convince the people to do that. Cost control is generally a one-off exercise. So as you go through, as you complete, you need to keep monitoring it. You need to keep reviewing it also. And now these are few things which, once a decision is taken, and then you create a core team, have champions involved, and then keep monitoring it. And it's a one-off exercise, it does take time. It does take time. From the time you script your plan and you execute, you may end up with maybe 4 or 5 months. So that is how a blueprint is once you make a decision to implement a strategic cost control.
You take one, before we get into the example, you have three examples that you've used or that you've actually been through yourself. What inspired, is there any common thread that inspired that strategic exercise? You know, either a board change, poor performance from a financial standpoint. Is there any common thread you can to recognize, hey, this is time that we need to do a strategic cost review?
Well, a couple of things. Yes, the financial performance obviously was the main reason. That's one. Two, I love challenges. So when the discussion happened, I felt I will do it. I will do it. So as I said, both these reasons work together. The financial performance, my willingness to take the challenge, and then the support of the board. Because even if financially you require a cost control, But if you as a champion, as a team leader, is not confident of delivering the results, Steve, it won't work. It just won't work. So all these three benchmarks have to be met for you to get inspired, as you use the word, to do the cost control.
Good. Well, take us through an example. I'm really curious to hear how you kind of led your team, through a strategic cost control exercise.
Excellent. Excellent. Let me just a little bit mention about what the group business was. The group was typically into manufacturing, contracting, trading, the three main verticals. And we used to have batching plants, the manufacturing batching plants in a lot many places in Middle East. And yeah, the business was tough. So I just go back to what you asked me, what inspired. Yes, the financial performance was challenging. So I clearly remember it was November, and we were giving the business plan for the next year to our board. So as the group CFO, I was representing, giving the presentation actually. Then we had our CEO, and then we had the GMs of various units. A pretty good crowd, 20 people, including the board members. So the presentation started around 9 o'clock and should have finished by 4 p.m. as a big meeting for the next year business plan. But you would be surprised that 40 minutes in the meeting and the chairman tells me, stop. Stop it. So the reason was, he said, look, if you're going to show me a net loss for the next year, regardless your reasons, revenue challenge, collections challenge, bad market, tough, challenging situation, I know all of them. I know all of them. Anand, why do I need you? Then he put his finger to the CEO and the other people. Why do I need any one of you? If I have people who are going to give me a net loss, I don't need any one of you. The meeting ended, but the message was clear. We are compelled. We were forced to go back, and we were compelled. So if we were not compelled, I don't know whether we would have been successful. So here's the story. We went back. The core team thought through. We went through each and every item of the profit and loss account. And then we started doing what we should do. Now, here were the specific actions we took. As you know, in such exercises, the easiest part is to look at the employment cost, because you can always say we don't want performers. So yes, the first exercise was towards the employment cost. People who were not performing were asked to leave. There was a couple of people, couple of functions we merged together to get efficiencies. Some of the people, we brought the concept of bringing them as a central team. Some of the people were asked to go on a forced leave, so we could achieve some good savings out of it. The next was looking at the administration cost, which could have your lease rentals, your accommodation costs, your other overheads. We did that. Now, if you look at, most of the people will definitely do the employment cost and the administration cost. Now, what we did two different things. We also went into the value engineering at the cost of goods sold level. Now, this is very interesting, because normally, as a finance professional, as a CFO, if you tell me, how would you reduce the cost of goods sold, which has raw materials in a manufacturing company, I will be clueless. I will be clueless simply because I'm not a technical person. So I won't be knowing what is a manufacturing mix of the product. That is where most of the CFOs don't react when they're asked to comment something on the manufacturing cost. But if you remember in the last talk, I mentioned about the business CFO concept. So I went deep dive and then understood that our product has this manufacturing mix. That helped us. Therefore, we could achieve some sort of cost material substitution, save the cost there. We renegotiated our payment terms with the suppliers. We entered into sole supply agreement from various of our manufacturers. And can you believe, at the cost of goods sold, not the overheads, we could achieve significant cost saving. This is something most of the people don't do it for the reasons I mentioned to you. And the other was operation cost, like cost on, we could save a lot of money on diesel optimization by managing our batching plants well, generators removal, or having shift changes. So the point I'm saying is, out of the four elements of employment cost, administration cost, most of the people do it. But the beauty is, how do you handle your operational cost? How do you save at the cost of goods sold level? And if you do those two aspects well, you are more likely to win than to lose.
That is really a great example.
It involves a lot of convincing people. That was the part. It is not as simple as I explained to you. A lot of convincing people. There were a lot of disgruntled people, but we had to do this. We were compelled. So the learning
was... Well, I think it's really interesting. Well, what's really interesting is the whole focus. It isn't so. Yeah, we talk about employment and those numbers, but you know, going after the cost of goods sold, you know, increasing your margin by reducing your cost of sales. That's really an important part of a cost control exercise, and it's an easy place for people to get around. Right? It's easy to rally around that. So you really take the whole. You know, you're looking at the whole P&L. You're looking at all the cost structure. I don't know how much you looked at in capital investment and things like that to save money, but as far as the P&L, you're just ripping through the whole P&L. And where I think the interesting potential comes in the operation side, where reducing the cost of goods sold, because most people do. They look at SG&A. You think of a cost control exercise, and that's the first place you look. So what a great
true,
example,
true.
And I think it yeah, really true. It shows the breadth, and you have to be. What you could term it, a business CFO to do that. You have to be familiar enough with the operations that you can look into those other areas with confidence that you can actually make a difference when you go in there. And of course, that takes a lot of teamwork too. So, you know, the operations folks, you know, you need to have a good relationship with them to have them help you with that whole exercise. So I think you've really made up some really interesting points on teamwork, the broad look, where you have to position yourself as a CFO. To be, you know, to be taken seriously, you have to be in all aspects of the business. You have to be that business CFO. So that's really, really, really interesting. In closing, you know, why do these fail? You know, why do these significant strategic cost control exercises fail?
Yeah, that's something which I really love answering, because having seen two success stories, one failed story, I really know why it fails. Two things. First, the support of the board, the ownership, is extremely critical. And that has to be right from the time you get the go-ahead to implement the exercise, and then whenever in the process you need the approvals. That is one part. The other thing which I have seen in my experience is, even if you get the approval from the ownership, the patience level is pretty limited. The expectation is, look, we have given you the approval to go ahead. Where are the results? Now, a business CFO has to have the confidence and the courage to go and tell the board and the ownership, look, you gave me the approval to execute this most unpleasant and the difficult exercise, but have patience for the results. But if you don't have the patience, it will fail. That's second. The other reasons why cost control fail is because it's generally a one-off exercise. You can't have fits. You can't stop, start, stop, start. If you start it, you've got to finish it. And many of the times, the objectives are not clear, so it leads to a failure. Sometimes the focus completely is missing. And the most important reason why it fails is, which I started the discussion, somewhere in the process, you lose persistence. You start losing willpower. You start getting into the negative mindset. Look, you don't want to work hard. You have lost your perseverance, and you just don't want to persist. We faced it in our success story. We felt at times we were not in the position to convince the people, but we persisted, and we succeeded. So these are the four or five broad points, which they are not textbook concepts. Those are practical things. Easier, again, as I said, for someone to listen. But one was gone deep dive. probably will appreciate exactly where I'm coming from.
Well, that's a great message. That's, you can tell you're an expert. You've done this a number of times. You've spoken on it. You've presented in papers. And we really appreciate that you would share that with us today. I'm Steve Rosevall. This is CFO Talk presented by CFO.University. Thank you, Anand, for spending this morning with us and sharing your insight on strategic cost control.
Thank you so much, Steve, for your time and giving me this opportunity to come here and speak about. Thank you so much.
Have a great day, and thank our audience for joining us. And you can share with Anand or myself any kind of thoughts you have on this. You can find us on LinkedIn, both of us, and we'll look forward to hearing from you. Have a great day.
Thank you so much.